KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, we have cloudy skies, a few sprinkles in the air. We picked up 2/100ths of an inch of rainfall this morning, and we look for variably cloudy skies with scattered showers and thunderstorms today, a high around 70. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Rex Pharmacy, where they'll help you stay on track with your medications. Ask them about no-wait refills and Rex Packs. In Southwest Iowa news, Red Oak police last night arrested a man from Nebraska following a reported family dispute. Officers arriving at a home in the 100 block of East Corning Street a little after 8:20 p.m. arrested 57-year-old Terry Studi of Papillion, Nebraska for disorderly conduct and public intoxication. Studi was being held at Montgomery County Jail on a $300 bond. Adair County Sheriff Jeff Vandewater reports a man was arrested last week on an assault charge. 39-year-old Mario Colin Rojas of Stewart was arrested April 17th for allegedly assaulting his wife by placing his knee on her throat at a residence in Stewart, causing her to be deprived of oxygen. Rojas was charged with domestic abuse assault by impeding air and or blood flow. He was released the following day on a $2,000 cash or surety bond with 10% acceptable. Deputies of the Fremont County Sheriff's Office responded to two incidents of vehicles inside the flood zone Saturday morning. The first call came in at around 1:40 a.m. from Christopher Hawes of Coffeyville, Kansas, who said his vehicle had hit a retaining wall and was in the water. His 2015 Hyundai Azera was located at the temporary levee on Highway 333. The vehicle was westbound and went over the levee and ended up nose first in the water. Hawes was cited for failure to obey a traffic control device. A deputy on patrol observed a semi in the flood water off of Highway 2 on 195th Avenue. A boat had to be called in to rescue the driver of the semi, Abdikahim Dair of Minneapolis, Minnesota, who drove past two barricades and was traveling south on 195th in the flood water when his truck went off the west side of the road and became stuck on the shoulder. Dair was cited for failure to obey a traffic control device and driving through a safety zone and being in an evacuated area. Neither driver was injured. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in Omaha said over the weekend it had awarded a $12 million contract to repair a Missouri River levee near Hamburg that broke during catastrophic flooding last month. The Corps said the breach repair should provide temporary flood protection of critical infrastructure. The contract was awarded to Newt Marine Services of Dubuque, and the repair is expected to be completed within 80 calendar days after the work begins. Project manager Jerry Szczynski said initial repairs will stop the flow of water through the levees, so repairs can be made to Interstate 29 and the city of Hamburg. The Corps also has begun planning permanent levee repairs to bring the damaged levees back to the same level of flood risk reduction the systems had prior to the flood. Iowa farmers may soon have the option to grow industrial hemp. A bipartisan group of lawmakers has been working on the issue for the past 3 years. Senator Kabutsian, a farmer from Keystone, says the effort got extra momentum after a new farm bill effectively legalized hemp again in the U.S.
Let's let our Iowans do what they do best. They're innovative, entrepreneurial. They will take this. They will take it to the next level. They will develop the processing. And let them see how far they can go.
A bill approved by the Senate designates two state agencies to oversee the crop and would let Iowa farmers grow up to 40 acres of hemp starting in the 2020 growing season.
Well, that 40-acre limit is there so lots of people can take advantage and participate in this program rather than just a handful.
That's Senator Tom Shipley, a farmer from Nottoway. The hemp plant is a cousin of marijuana. Smoking it does not make you high, but for decades it's been illegal to grow it under federal law. Senator Dan Zumba, a farmer from Ryan, says hemp can be a part of a new era, agriculture.
This is something we haven't seen since World War II, but it's better. And 45 years from now, this will be a normal crop in our fields with assets that we can't yet imagine.
Senator Kevin Kenney, a farmer from Oxford, says hemp could become a leading commodity in Iowa behind corn and soybeans.
I have been contacted by many future hemp farmers who are ready to start producing and see the market for hemp products.
The plant's seeds and its stalks can be used to make fabric and paper as well as oil and building materials. The bill that passed the Senate last week is scheduled for debate in the Iowa House this week, according to Representative Jared Klein, a farmer from Kyoto.
It's a very, very labor-intensive crop. I think there'll be some niche market availability there, but we need to allow that to happen. If somebody can make profit at it and be successful in agriculture, I'm all for it.
And under the bill, farmers must get a state license to grow hemp. Officials from the Iowa Department of Agriculture and Public Safety are to oversee hemp production to ensure it's not being grown as cover for marijuana. And what's being called a sober living room will living home, that is, will open soon in Sioux City to help men who are struggling with addiction who also may be homeless. Hope Street of Siouxland has 5 bedrooms and 10 beds, a kitchen, living room, and showers, and staff members want to add a pool table. Program Director Sarah Johnson says the goal is for people to feel at home while on the road to recovery.
And we're really intentionally choosing to create a family for those individuals who are going to live here.
Clients will have access to a case manager and nearby addiction treatment services in downtown Sioux City.
If you're coming out of prison, if you're detoxing from the hospital and you don't have a space to come, you know, we're able to take those individuals.
She says Hope Street will help try to combat the addiction cycle, where people tend to go back and forth between living on the streets and going to the hospital or going to jail.
We're going to be another option for them to have some safe living space and hopefully help change that cycle and really address what their basic needs are, whether it's mental health, addiction, employment.
The facility is scheduled to open in the next couple of weeks, and people will have to apply for a place in the home. In our funeral announcements, Gary Kloppenberg, age 70, of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, originally from Oneida, died April 16th in Sioux Falls. Funeral services for Gary Kloppenberg will be today at 10 o'clock at the George Boom Funeral Home and On-Site Crematory in Sioux Falls. Marcella Hammond, age 101, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Marcella Hammond will be today at 11 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Betty Specht, age 77, of Westphalia, died April 4th. A mass of Christian burial for Betty Specht will be today at 11 o'clock at St. Boniface Catholic Church in Westphalia. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Shirley Warren, age 85, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Heritage House. Funeral services for Shirley Warren will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Evangelical Free Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. Leora Torres, age 103, of Avoca, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Leora Torres will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Francis Frankie Nicholson, age 83, of Atlantic, died Friday at CCMH. Graveside services for Frankie Nicholson will be on Tuesday at 2:30 at the Vossmore Cemetery in Papillion, Nebraska. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has the arrangements. Paul Thomas Marshall, Jr., age 68, of Atlantic and formerly of California, died Sunday. A mass of Christian burial for Paul Marshall, Jr., is currently pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Philip Schaberg, age 92, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Allen Place. Services for Philip Schaberg are pending at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Abby Ward, age 57, of Lewis, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Abby Ward will be on April 27th at 3 p.m. at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Rex Pharmacy in Atlantic, the prices you need, the service you deserve. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.